In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says this, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." You know, the book of Revelation, just maybe this is a pet peeve, it's not Revelations, it's the book of Revelation. And the focus of this book isn't end times per se. There's end time stuff in it. But the focus of this book is the revelation of Christ. The revealing of Him. And that's what this is so great about this verse. If there's a verse that really sums up the whole book, I think it's right there. Behold, as this is probably King James, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I'll come in and I want to share a meal with you. God wants us to live in His presence. It's not something that He wants us to do just once a week, but He wants us to be in His presence. Now, I say that there's different forms of God's presence. I mean, someone say, well, of course we're in God's presence. God is everywhere. Yes, He is. That is, in the Bible terminology, His omnipresence. That God is everywhere. In fact, it says in Psalm chapter 139, verse 7, the psalmist says, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. Amen. This word presence in this tense is talking about His omnipresence. That no matter where you go, God is there. The psalmist goes on to say, in the deepest, deepest, the highest highs, wherever you are, I cannot hide or escape your presence. The Bible says wherever two or three are gathered, there He is in our presence. Now that's actually going to be a different type. But understand, His presence is everywhere. So omnipresence. There's also this presence of God, which is His inner presence. You know, when you become a believer, when you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this part of you, your spirit, comes to life. John chapter 3 talks about this, how before knowing Jesus as Lord, that yeah, you're born of the flesh, but upon salvation, you are now born of the Spirit. And your spirit man comes to life. And it's literally, you know, we'll say, have you asked Jesus to come into your heart? I mean, that is what you were doing, but technically it's the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, which comes alive in your heart. And now you have this inner presence of God inside of you. John chapter 14, verse 23 says, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. So this is a personal scripture. See, when you accept Christ as your Lord, when you start living your life His way and say, God, what you say, I will obey, and this transformation, this new birth of the Spirit inside of you, God comes and makes a home in each of us. An inner presence of God inside of us. The third type of presence that we see in God is something called His manifest presence. And this is what I want to focus on this morning specifically, is His manifest presence in our lives. This is when He makes Himself known among us. I don't know about you, but I've had times, and I'll talk more about it as I get into this message, where all you can say is, wow, God is here. That's His manifest presence. Where you have an actual awareness, I mean, a physical, mental, whatever awareness that God is in this place. And that's what that verse, where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst. That's God's manifest presence showing up. Because the body has come together corporately in unity to seek Him. And God never disappoints in that. He always comes and shows up when people gather to meet with Him. Another verse you can write down, it's also in your note sheet. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. It says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. This is a great verse to remember if you ever feel scared or you're uncertain about your times. Don't be afraid, I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Amen. Today I want to focus on the manifest presence of God. And the importance of worship in our lives to see the manifest presence of God all the time. I mean, ask yourself this question. Can we actually live in this presence, the manifest presence of God, where we are physically and mentally and emotionally aware of His actual presence with us all the time. Yes, we can. It's not meant to just be a once a week experience like, oh, well, I felt the Lord in worship, or, oh, yeah, that really spoke to me today. I mean, it's something that, I mean, that's good. We want that. But God wants every single day of our lives to be known by us and His presence with us in the manifestation of it. You see, many times we will sense the presence of God. But understand, we can actually walk in the knowledge of His presence on a daily basis. In fact, this is how He intended the relationship to be between us and Him. I really believe we can do this. You know, honestly, there's been many times in my life where I have not lived this out. Building this church, you can ask my wife. I mean, I was literally on survival mode. This is honestly the stupidity of my thought, that saying, God, I just need a little bit more time and then I'll reinvest. I just need a little more time on this building and then I will spend more time with you. And which, you know, I've preached this, the principle of first. How if I give God the first of my time, the first of who I am, the first of my money, that when I give Him the best, that He blesses the rest. But yet here I am saying, God, let me have more time to work without You and then I'll have some time for You. And honestly, by the end of this project, I was beat up, worn out, tired. I wonder how different that may have been in some degrees if rather than saying, well, God, I don't have time today because, you know, I've got this deadline right now. I've got to do it so I can hurry up and wait for something else. But, you know, if I would have just taken that little extra time to entertain and seek out the manifest physical presence of God in my devotion time, Proverbs talks about how when we give God the best of our lives, that He actually can not multiply our days, but lengthen our days in such to where we get more done with the same amount of time because we are being blessed because we've given Him our best. This doesn't mean that during these times of my life that I stopped reading my Bible or praying, but really that it was sort of become routine. And it seems like the very first thing that suffers in my daily devotion time, if I am in a pinch or I'm in a hurry, is the side of part of my devotion life of worship. You see, it's important that what we do with our daily devotion time, we have our Bible reading plan in the back, and we have the SOAP method, which we use to try to glean from God's Word. And that's great. You know, we take time and read. You know, we've talked about prayer and the importance of seeking God in prayer and of your needs and for other people, intercession, and different types of prayer. But there's also a part of your time with you and God where you worship Him. And for me anyways, it seems like that's been the time that I've let slide on a daily basis as I get into the routine of, okay, well, I have to read this, I have to pray about things, and now I need to get to work. Rushing my time with God. Honestly, if there's anything that shouldn't be neglected in my time, it should be my time of worship. Because what happens is when you're worshiping God, just you and Him, you're here in a corporate setting, you are inviting the manifest, visible presence, the made known presence of God into your life. I'm not saying inside your heart, I'm saying into your life, your daily dealings, things that you go through. You're letting, literally make it to where He can say, you know, I'm with you. Because you're with me, I will not fear. We just sang that.
That's right.
This is what we're inviting into our lives through His manifest presence on a daily basis through worship. Three points. First one. Simply, His manifest presence. And again, I think of this word manifestation, and it just sounds very churchy to me. You know, it's His visible presence. It's when, you know, I can look at Shane, and Shane is right here. And just by being in front of him, he's getting uncomfortable, and he's starting to manifest. He's smiling. He's turning red. But, you know, I'm in His presence, and I am experiencing the manifestation of Shane. I've got other examples, too, but that's what it is. God has an actual presence that will manifest before you where you will be, where you will know he is with you. You know, God started everything, this whole creation. The whole purpose was simply so that he could have a walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. He created everything around just so that he could walk with them and be in their presence and them be in his presence and talk and have this exchange between each other. And then there was the fall. You know, think about this. What did we lose when Adam and Eve fell away from God? And what did Jesus come to restore? Relationship. But not a relationship to where we know he's up there in the sky somewhere and then we're down here living our lives, but a relationship that is intimate, that is close, that has manifestations, that is very visible in our lives. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, this is a key throughout the verse or the message today. Adam and Eve have just brought sin into their lives, into the creation. God had given them direction and how he wants them to live their lives. And part of this was, maybe it was a test, but it wasn't necessarily a test to see them fail, but it was a test to see where their devotion was. And he says, you know, partake of anything in this garden, but this tree, the knowledge of good, of evil, don't take part in that tree. Because the day that you do, you shall surely die. And Adam and Eve may have been thinking physical death, you know, like the poison apple, you know, you bite the apple and you die. But it wasn't just physical death at the end of their life, but it was spiritual death as well. That there was now a separation between them and God. And it goes on in verse 8, after this sin entered the world, it says, when the cool of the evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. God was coming like he did every night to be with them. But look what happened. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Some versions say that they hid from his presence. You know, sin always causes us to try to hide from the presence of God. Even in a worship service in church on Sunday mornings. When there's things in our lives that shouldn't be there, and we know they shouldn't be there, we tend to hide. We feel guilty, or we feel ashamed. We think, this isn't the place for me. Maybe we come out of routine, or because it's what we're supposed to do, but we don't engage in the manifest presence of God because there's issues. We feel dirty or wrong. And not only that, the devil comes and Satan comes and he'll start convicting us. Or not convicting, no, he doesn't convict, he condemns us. He says, can you really sing that with a sincere heart? Look what you did this week. Look what you said. Raise your hands. I saw what you did with those hands. And he is trying to put a wedge between you and God, and that sin divides you and separates you from knowing that God is here with you. You know, if anything, it's those times when we blow it, when we just mess up royally, that we need to be running to God. In fact, the Bible says that we can boldly approach the throne of grace. What does this grace mean? Grace means unmerited favor. It means that you have the right to come to before God even though you don't deserve it. Because of what Jesus has done on the cross for you and for me. Because when God sees you, even when you blow it, he still sees his Son. He sees his Spirit, that inner presence of the Holy Spirit in your lives. He doesn't see your mistakes. He doesn't see your messes. He sees Jesus. So rather than accepting the lie that you cannot engage in the manifest presence of God, you need to put that aside, rebuke it, and say, I will exalt you. Because you're with me, I'm not going to fear. I'm going to be with you right now because I recognize your presence in this place. Well, how could Adam and Eve hide from God? God is everywhere. Yes. His omnipresence. But there is the manifestation of his presence as well. Another place in the Bible, Moses, Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 and 15. He's having this conversation with God, and God is revealing himself to Moses in amazing ways. And this is where this really a pinnacle point in this dialogue between Moses and God, where he says, God, show me your glory. And you know, as it goes, God says, well, you can't take it. You can't take all that I have to offer. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to cover your eyes as I pass by. And right as I'm about to leave, and you see the little bit of my backside, you can see that much. You know, and as the account goes, you know, God covers Moses' eyes, and he hides him in a rock. And there's some great imagery there in who Christ is and being, anyways. As he's just about to go, he takes his hand away, and Moses sees just the last passing moment of God in his presence. And it says as he comes down from the mountain at that point, that the children of Israel saw him, that he was glowing in the presence of God because of the manifestation of his presence. But then look what God says to Moses. He says, the Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. Then Moses said, if you don't personally go with me, don't make us leave this place. You see, Moses had experienced the manifestation of God's presence. He knew what it was like to see him and to be with him. He said, God, I can't not have this in my life anymore. You can't show me who you are. You can't reveal yourself to me and then say, okay, now, Mo, go on and conquer the land. If I don't have you by my side, I don't want to go. We can't go. Again, we can say, well, God is everywhere. Yes. But there's something different about the manifestation of God's presence. There's something different yes, he is inside of us if we know him. Yes, he is everywhere, the creator of all things. All of creation testifies of his glory and that he's here. But there's something about that moment where you feel that personal touch, that knowing that he is with you, that he is among you. It is his manifest presence. Where God is walking with Moses on a daily basis. Really, it's the same way that he walked with Adam and Eve in the garden in the cool of the afternoon every day. I mean, think about this. Adam and Eve, before they brought sin into the world, they got the full frontal view of God. They were always basking in the glory and the presence of God, his manifestation. Because of sin, Moses could only see just a quick second of it. And even that was almost too much to handle. Moses was saying to God, if you don't come with us, I don't want to go. Question. How often do we go through the issues of life without even recognizing the manifest presence of God, and we're okay with it? How many things do we face on a daily basis and don't even give God a thought? There was something I lost. Were we in Hawaii? I lose stuff so often, and it frustrates me to no end. I don't get it, you know? I took this thing in high school, getting way off course here, but that's okay for a moment. It's called Mega Memory. Our band director did it, where he paid like a couple hundred bucks for this program, and you learn to remember where you forget things, basically. And one of the things I remember, he said, like, you lose your car keys all the time, you put it down on the coffee table, you don't remember you put it on the coffee table. Well, when you set it on the coffee table, imagine the coffee table exploding. And that very moment of taking the mental time to imagine your keys exploding on the coffee table, you will not lose your keys anymore. Yeah, it worked for like 2 seconds. Because what happens when you forget to explode the keys on the table, because you have to go do what you have to do and you lose them anyways. But, okay, I have a point with this. We go through these issues of life, and we don't even think to include God in them or recognize his presence. Okay, here's what it was. So I think I lost the keys again. I think they're for our rental vehicle or something, and I was getting agitated. And Tara said, Brian, pray. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to do it. And I think I gave a half-hearted something. And it was wrong, you know. I have an opportunity to invite God's presence in my quest for my keys. But there's something in my nature where, in my frustration, in my sin, I want to hide from God. I don't want him to see me like this. I don't want him to see me being agitated over something so petty. Ultimately, that's really what was in my mind. How many things do we have in our lives where, if we were honest about it, we don't want God there because we don't want him to see us looking this way? Sin. We need to be like Moses. God, I will not go another step if I don't know that I have your presence here with me. If I can't feel you, if I can't see you in the situation, I'm not going to go into this situation if I'm not going to invite you in with it. Amen. Imagine how life might be a little bit different for us if we recognized and invited the presence of God in our daily issues. Sure. This is what we're talking about. Living in His known presence in our lives. Now think about this. I have so many different daydreams in my life and things I think about. One is I don't buy lottery tickets, but I think about buying lottery tickets all the time. I was going by Smith's the other day and I saw like some jackpot, something was $94 million. And I see that and I'm thinking, $94 million? What could I do with that? What would people think? I'd be a multi-millionaire. Imagine this. If right now a billionaire was sitting in our church, it'd be pretty cool, wouldn't it? It'd be great to have somebody who's that wealthy just sitting here. But what good would that really do for you? Yeah, his presence is here. He's got $1 billion plus. But big deal. Now what if that billionaire then decided, you know what? Here's $1 million Shane. Here's $1 million Russ. Here's $1 million Randall. Here's $1 million Anna. Gave every one of us $1 million. Now you'd be really excited because, yes, a person who is a billionaire is here, but now they have manifested, they have made known who they are and what they can do in your life by personally engaging with you. You can't tell me you would not be excited to get $1 million right now. Okay, go ahead. It's your chance, Mr. Billionaire, Mrs. Billionaire. Oh. I've been praying about that all week. Okay, no. If a billionaire started handing out $1 million apiece, that person would be making the manifestation of their presence known. They would be making their presence known by who they are and their title. You see, when we come to church, when we worship God, when we enter into our quiet daily space with Him, where we are trying to engage in Him, God wants to manifest His presence to us. Not just to say, oh, God is here. But the God who does things and wants to do things in our lives, He wants to manifest what He has for you in your life in that moment. You ever wondered where the Bible gets these words like Jehovah Jireh or Nisi or these different ones? God is my provider. God is my joy. God is my peace. Because people who invited God into their lives in those situations experienced the manifestation of a gift of peace or provision or safety or rescue. And they said, because of you showed up, I can see who you are. Now I have received the peace I needed for my life. Now I've received the strength I needed for my life. You are this to me. Because you've made yourself known. That is the same God who has saved you. Who has an inner presence in your life right now. Who is omnipresent everywhere. But on a daily basis, He wants to manifest Himself, make Himself known for what you need in your life in this moment. Amen. He wants to make His presence known. And He wants to do something for you that no one else can do for you. He wants to do something for you that you can't do for yourself. He wants to do this all the time. He's saying, come on in. Let's talk. Let's have a meal. And by the way, I have this for you today. Psalm 138, verse 7. It says, though I am surrounded by troubles, you will protect me from the anger of my enemies. You reach out your hand and the power of your right hand saves me. The psalmist in this situation had problems, had issues in his life. And he knew that he had to get in the presence of God to receive what he needed. Protection, rescue, strength. This is what it is. This is God's manifest presence that He wants in our lives. That we need in our lives. So if that's what it is, then we can be in one of two places. We can either be in his presence or we can be away from his presence, right? So my next 2 points, I want to start with the latter side of that, leaving his presence. Again, this is hard for us to comprehend, and it's not taught in church a lot because we think God is everywhere. You can't leave his presence. Well, actually, you can. The Bible says that you can. I mean, I had a question here. I was going to say, is it possible to leave God's presence? I already gave the answer. Yes, it is possible. It isn't possible to leave his omnipresence because he sees everything. He knows all that's going on. He's also omniscient, which means he knows everything. But in many instances in the Bible, people have actually chosen to remove themselves from his presence. Adam and Eve, first example. They hid themselves in the garden from God's presence because of the shame of their sin. You go one more chapter over in Genesis chapter 4, and there's these two brothers, the sons of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. And if you read through the dialogue, God's talked to both of them on numerous occasions, and they're at this place where they were bringing offerings to the Lord, and Cain would bring a grain offering, the produce of his fields, and Abel would bring a lamb, a meat offering. Which I think a meat offering would be better anyways, but it's not the point. But anyways, for whatever reason, God was not accepting Cain's offerings, but he was accepting Abel's offerings. I'll give the answer to that in just a moment. And this made Cain upset. It made him angry at his brother. And God came to Cain and said, hey, knock it off. Stop the stinking thinking. Change your attitude towards your brother because it's not helping you. See, God does this all the time. The Holy Spirit is continually convicting my life, trying to guide me and lead me towards him and not away from him. And so Cain's like, no, I'm angry. I don't like my brother. Why do you always choose him over me? I'll tell you the answer for that. Because Abel gave God the first of his produce. And Cain just gave him some of God's produce. This again is the principle of first. We can get more of that later. But anyways, what happened? Cain didn't listen to God, and he killed his brother. Verse 16 of chapter 4, it says, so Cain left the Lord's presence and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Here is a person who chose to leave God's presence. Was God everywhere? Yes. But this relationship, this dialogue, this being provided for and loving and all that, hearing his voice, stopped. He walked away from God's presence. We cannot go away from his omnipresence, but we can go out from his manifest presence. Another person in the Bible is Jonah. Look at Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. It says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. It's a cool name. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. Verse 3. But Jonah got up and went the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. Interesting, isn't it? He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. He's fleeing the presence of God. God, you told me to go here, and so I am going to go over here to escape your presence. How do you leave God's presence? By not doing what he says to do. Specifically, by not doing what he's told you to do. He told Adam and Eve to not eat of the tree. They did it. Result, out of his presence. He told Cain to change his attitude about his brother Abel. He didn't do it, he killed him instead. Result, out of God's presence. God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. He didn't do it, he went the other direction. Result, out of God's presence. Understand, we need to really focus on what God says to us. You know, we say as pastors, we'll say the word, we need to obey God. And we don't like to hear that because we think of like just a list of do's and don'ts. But when we think about it as God is speaking to us and God has given us direction and guidance in our lives, and we're choosing not to do that, how can we expect anything but to go away from God? Because here's the thing, God guides us towards Him in what He says for us to do. If we are not doing what He says for us to do, we are actually walking away from Him when He's trying to bring us to Him, thus being out of His manifest presence. This is a life led by the Holy Spirit. I mean, every day there are things that come through my life, that come into my life, where God is saying, Brian, seek me in this. Brian, change your attitude about that. Brian, don't say this, but say this. Brian, talk to this person. Pray for this. And if I choose to not do that, if I say, God, no, He'll say, okay. And I start taking steps away. Serve in this ministry. Witness to that person. Ask for forgiveness or forgive. Tithe. Now here's the question. Are you not living in God's presence if you don't do these things? Only if He has spoken these things on your heart. And then you've chosen not to do it. It's willful disobedience. Bad relationships. But He loves me so much. I can't leave Him. If you're in a bad relationship and God's saying, get out of there! And you say, no. You're choosing to be away from His presence. His manifest presence. Are you living in or leaving the presence of God? By how you either follow His guidance or ignore it. We're not talking about making mistakes. We're not talking about a mess up. We're talking about willful disobedience to God's direction in your life. Speaking of mistakes and mess ups, I've got plenty of them. I don't know how many times it'll be 3 o'clock, 3:30, 3:15, and this is if I do answer my phone, because I'll put it on silent, I'll forget about it, and I'll like 15 text messages from Tara saying, hey, can you pick this up from the store? And my intention is to do it. It absolutely is. I promise you, it's my intention. But I get sidetracked so easily. I don't blow up the store, so I forget about it. And I get up to the top of the hill, like to my mailbox. And I'm like, duh! I forgot to pick that up. Walk in the door, Brian, honey, did you get this? No. Go back down and get it. Mistake after mistake after mistake. It's not like I'm having to obey my wife. But, you know, we have our lists. We have our honey-do lists, right, guys? We love our wives, so we do what they say. But it's a matter of not, it's not like I was here in my office, got in my truck, like, oh, I need to pick up bananas and bread and milk. Well, I'm not going to do that. That's woman's work. And go back up to the house and come in, open the door. Honey, did you get that? No. I'm not going to do what you say. That's woman's work, woman. Step for a moment. How would that affect the presence of our relationship? For the positive or for the negative? Do you think we'd be having a closer moment right at that moment? Or would there be some distance being created? That's what we're talking about here. Where, I mean, think about this. We do this to God. I will not do that. I don't care if you told me about it, God. I mean, this is God. I mean, do you really respect that He is the creator of all things? That He can go, and you no longer exist? That's how powerful He is, and yet we have the audacity to say no to the creator of all things. But we do it. But rather than snuffing us out, God just lets us walk away. And we wonder why life is getting worse and worse and more cruddy, and why we don't feel, and why so-and-so gets to experience God, but we don't. But we don't do what God says. It's not even a list of do's and don'ts. It's just the guidance He wants to give us in our lives. We leave His presence. No different than Adam and Eve, or Cain, or Jonah, we say no. You know, you take about this willful disobedience. Here's the thing, if I did that to my wife, I'd still be in the house, right? Hopefully. You know, we're still there. We're still cohabitating. But would I really be in her presence? I would be there, but not really be there. And I'm told that sometimes. Brian, you're here, but you're not really here. And it's not because of willful disobedience. It's just because my mind's going everywhere. Well, sometimes you need to quiet your mind. And I'm getting ahead of myself in my third point, but worship does that. Worship can get you focused again. Okay? It can get to you to where you are here, and you are here. Not here, but not really here. Okay? You can be in the presence of a person, but not be there. You can be in the omnipresence of God, but not know His manifest presence. But He wants to guide us towards Him. You know, this vacation we just took, you know, we've been planning this for well over a year. And just, it's sad, honestly, I guess, but the same way I've told God, well, Lord, just wait a little bit longer and then I'll have time for you. I've done the same thing to my family, and we've talked about it and tried to schedule time, but I have to get this done. I have to get this done. Just at this time, we'll do it. But that's what this vacation is really all about. It wasn't just going to Hawaii. It was a matter of just having nothing else there, just family. We need that time that we say, God, it's about you first. It's about my family first. It's about making time to be in His presence or to be in the presence of your family. Amen. You can be in the same house and still not experience the joy of that person. You can be in the house this morning, singing songs, listening to words, but not experiencing the joy of God's presence, the peace of His presence, what He has for you in this moment, right now. One more story here. I've told you this before, but here's a willful, disobedient act of my life. 10 years ago, we moved to Alabama. And I've shared this story before that we were in Lewiston. We had a hard last year and a half, 2 years in Lewiston. Hard. And I felt like the victim of it, like I wasn't the focus or the reason for some of these problems. Some were probably self-induced, but anyways. I remember sitting in my office in Alabama, and I was in my devotion time with God. And I was in Matthew chapter 5, I believe, where the Beatitudes are at, maybe chapter 3, verse 5. And it says, in that verse, it says, if your brother has aught against you, or if they find fault against you, go and make peace with them before you lay your gift at the altar. And I remember reading that as I was going through it, and immediately God brought to my attention, He said, Brian, you know so-and-so has an issue with you. Whether you think you did wrong or right, whatever, you know they have an issue with you. My word says right now to make it right before you come any further. Will you do that? I mean, that's as clear as it was. And I remember I sat at my desk, and I sat there for probably 4 or 5 minutes, just stewing. And I said, no, I won't do it. And God's like, okay. And for like the next 3 months, life sucked. I don't say that in church, but there's no better word for it. It sucked. And I knew why it was that way. And I'd hear again, you're going to do this, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. I'm like, no, no, no. And finally I broke. I was like, okay, fine. I'll do it. And I remember basically the story can end there. I took care of it. And I remember almost instantaneously feeling like I was back in His presence again. Because I had allowed, and here the real issue, asking Him to forgive me was really allowing God to allow the process of forgiveness to work in my life. It's like reverse type of forgiveness, but it helped me in my situation, and it took care of a wedge that was between me and God and allowed us to get back and close together again. You can be in the same house and still not experience the joy of that person. I just put here in my notes, do you hear me? We've all been here. We've done these things. You can come to church. You can even pray and read your Bible and yet not fully experience the measure of God's manifestation, His presence in your life that He has for that day. We can go through the motions. You know, that whole time, that time, I still read my Bible. I still prayed. But I was in willful disobedience. I had to repent. That means change direction and go back. God wants us to live in His presence. So, third and final point, how do we enter the presence of God? There's a lot of ways to do this, but really the worship is what I want to focus on. I mean, we live lives of worship. And it's not just singing, but in this case, for right now, it is. I want to talk about singing or playing instruments. I have a monotone voice. I have an ear that can hear everything, but I don't have a voice that can reflect what I hear. It's like there's some kind of disconnect between my vocal cords range to up here. And so I whisper sing. But it's the heart, not the voice per se. Okay. Psalm 95 verses 1 and 2, and then you'll flip to 100, 1 and 2. It says, "Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to Him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to Him. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him, singing with joy." Music, singing, praise, and worship may be a lot more important in your life than what you think. If you are right now devoted to God in praying and reading your Bible every day, that's commendable. That's awesome. But if you're not worshiping, you're missing out on a greater measure of His manifest presence in your daily life. It is crucial to entering into the presence of God. I have a lot of people who have asked me different times, you know, well, what do you listen to? I listen to two things, talk radio and worship music. That's the same difference. But, I mean, I used to 80s rock, I grew up in the 80s. I love it. In fact, we watched a couple of movies in Hawaii, I don't know why, but 80s rock was like it. And I remember thinking in my mind as we were watching these movies, I was like, I want to find like the top 1,000 songs of 1980 to 1989. And I want to start listening to them again. And I think, my foot was tapped. I was like, this is awesome. I loved it. But it doesn't do anything for me. And people say, well, why don't you listen to anything but worship music? Why do you always listen to worship music? And like, nothing else does it for me. But here's really what it is. It's not that it doesn't do it for me. It's that, why would I spend so much time listening to something that doesn't bring me closer to God when it is so easy to turn to 101.7 or 88.1 or what have you and hear songs that are giving praise and glory to God? And as I enter in with those songs, now I am inviting the manifest presence of God in my life in that very moment through worship. It's easy to come into His presence today. I mean, there's apps on your phone where you can listen to radio anywhere of any worship station you want. You can go on YouTube. I do it almost every morning and type in acoustic worship sets and listen to worship from people all around the world, and I can worship with them and I can experience the manifest presence of God through song. So we went to this church in Hawaii, and I like to go to different churches because you see what they do right or what they do wrong, what you're not doing right, maybe things that you can change and add. And we went in there, and honestly, I don't know why I thought this, but I thought white church. There's a white building, you know, white clouds, white church. We walk in, and there's no white people except us, which is really cool. It was refreshing. I thought, this is awesome. And nothing but Koreans, Filipinos, and Hawaiians. And it was cool, you know, sat in the back of the church like, you know, guests do, and you know, I'm thinking, okay, when's someone going to come and shake my hand or say something to me or, you know, be friendly? I'm like, this is Mossy Rock. And a guy came up and talked to me, and, you know, it's no different between Alabama and Hawaii. So where are you from? Washington, D.C.? No, Washington State, you know. This one girl, we got some shaved ice from her, and she goes, where are you from? It's like Washington State. So that's like, I say that immediately, and she goes, oh, isn't that somewhere by Oregon? And I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? And she said, well, they don't really teach us about the mainland here in Hawaii. I was like, okay, that's fine. But anyways, we're in this church, and we're you know, taken it in, and worship had already started. And there's this lady on the piano, had a grand piano, and had a rockin' bass player and a rockin' drummer that only did like these tom beats, but they're really cool tom beats. And then these two people singing like this, you know, which is kind of like how we do it. But, you know, anyways, we're sitting back, the same songs we sing and everything, and it was fine. And I remember, I wish I was better at this, but you know, I'm sitting there like this, you know, mouthing a couple words, and then, you know, the song was starting, and then I felt in my spirit, in my mind, like, come on, raise your hands to me. It's like, okay, yeah. Raise my hands, and like, all of a sudden, it's like, wow. It's like my eyes opened up. Like, yeah. And I'll sing a little bit louder, and like, oh, no, a little bit quieter. Okay, so I'll lift my hands higher, and sing quieter, balance it out, make it a great thing. But the cool thing was this, is that experiencing the manifest presence of God because I was engaging in the songs. Same songs we sing. People were singing, doing all the same kind of different stuff that we do. But I made a decision to push a little further. I've been in places, I'll just really quick, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 2006, year after Katrina, I was at a youth conference, and unbelievable worship. And I mean, maybe I've shared this before, but literally, it was freaky crazy, is the only way I could describe it. Because this church sat about 10,000 people. It was like this huge, huge pole barn building that just 10,000 youth were in there. And I literally remember they were singing this song. I remember saying, floating in the river. It's about a river hippo thing. And because the guy had a sermon about it, I was like, floating in the river, river hippo, da da da. And I remember literally walking in the aisle and feeling water just pushing me. And it was unbelievable presence, manifestation of God's presence. And I could take a step out by my seat and it was stopped. I could step back into it, and just unbelievable presence of God, where time did not exist, it seemed like. Speaking of that, I remember I was a sophomore in high school, and we were at another youth conference in City Bible Church in Portland, Oregon, Frank DiMaggio's church. And I Could Sing of Your Love Forever had just come out. So as a freshman, 1994. And we sang I Could Sing of Your Love Forever for over 4 hours. Because the presence of God was so, I could sing your love forever. We're going to sing of your love forever. It's forever, forever. I mean, just forever. We sang that song. And I remember looking at my watch, it was like 8 o'clock. And then looking at it again, it's like midnight. And I'm like, you know, we need to go now. You have to be back here at 7 o'clock in the morning. So we left. But amazing experiences. I have so many more, but I don't want to, I mean, I could share them. But we can have these manifest experiences of God's presence. And the most powerful ones I've had have been in worship. I've had them in personal worship times in my personal devotion life. There's something about singing to God which helps us enter into His presence in a greater way. You know, sometimes I just blow my day up. Either anger or sin or apathy or who knows what, to where maybe you felt this way too, like, I wish this day would just be over. I want to shut my eyes and go to sleep because tomorrow can be a new day. You know the Bible has a verse for that? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22 and 23. It says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Isn't it best to start each day, each morning, in God's mercies fresh? And you know His mercies are the freshest in His manifest presence. Where God is actually waiting for you every morning. Whether you have your cup of coffee or wherever you're at, where you say, here you go, I baked some fresh mercy just for you. Enjoy your day. I want to have a meal with you. I'm at the door, I'm knocking. If you'll open the door, I'll come in. We'll have a meal together. I'll feed you what you need for this day, for this week. I'll give you the sustenance for your life. You know, I've had days like that, and then the rest of my day is just awesome. Everything I do just goes perfectly. You know, I can, every word that comes out of my mouth, every step I take, it's just like, man, life is good. And I've had the very next day where I go through the same things, worshiping, reading, devotion, eat some mercy bread, and then my day just is like, horrible. But what I still have is that joy and that peace and that mercy. Because in my good days and my bad days, it's better to have those good days and bad days in the presence of God than without it. It's our choice. Kyler, would you come up for a moment? I'd rather be in his presence all day than only know that God is everywhere. I want his manifest presence. I think as a church, you know, it's not just because I'm going through something that everybody else is too, but this is how I preach. If I'm dealing with something, I'm going to talk about it. I don't know any other way to do it. But let me just ask you, in your life, are you in the presence of God daily? Is it something that's just once a week because it happens when you come to church, or every third week when you come to church? Or are you experiencing the full measure of life that God has for you in this moment? I want to take some time, and it's something we've actually been working on this for a couple of months now, and we'll do more, but I want to give the opportunity this morning just to where, if you need prayer in your life, I want you just to take a step, stand up, and come forward. Maybe you're in a relationship you shouldn't be in. Maybe you have a health issue that you need prayer about. Maybe you're just frustrated with life. Maybe you don't know what you need prayer for, but you just feel like you need prayer. I want you to come forward, and I want to pray with you, because here's the thing. God can be speaking to you right now, and he may want to manifest his presence in your life in a way that you need it right now. So isn't this what church is all about? That we get the touch from God that we need for this moment? Yeah. And if you feel like, well, if I'm the first to stand up, I know Brad's already the first to stand up, so you can come on up, Brad, if you want to. That's what I appreciate about Brad. He is the first one to come up all the time because he always wants that touch. Yeah. Doesn't matter what it's for. But right now, if you have a need, just stand up and come forward, and I want to pray with you. It's something we're going to develop some more here in the next couple of weeks and a month, but to where every Sunday I want an opportunity to where you can be prayed for. We have needs all the time. And this morning it's going to be just as simple as I'm not going to be able to pray for everyone, but just I think your action of coming forward will do something. And I think God is going to touch you with where you're at. Maybe you want to pray for somebody that's up here. Go ahead and come up and pray for somebody if you'd like to. That's fine too. But let's just experience what God has. And Kyler, just sing verse 1 in the chorus, and then we're going to pray. So I want to continue to just give this opportunity just to come up and receive from God. This may be the most important part of church for you today, right now, in this moment, to receive the touch that God has for you and to hear his voice and say, no. God's probably just going to say, okay. He's not going to smite you. He'll probably say, okay. It's up here if you want it, though. Go ahead, Kyler.